Okay, Matthew chapter 13, verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 9. This is a parable that Jesus tells. A parable is a story. It's a made-up story. It's a fictional story that Jesus told, but it has a truth behind it. It's got a heavenly meaning behind it, and it's got a lesson behind it. So let's listen to this story as Jesus reads this, or Jesus tells it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, a sower is a planter. I could picture a farmer, maybe an old-fashioned farmer that has a bag of seeds, and he's holding the bag of seeds. And the sower, as he would sow, instead of planting each of the seeds in a little row, he would scatter the seeds. So I want you to picture a sower with a bag, maybe a satchel, and he's got this bag of seeds, and he's reaching his hand in, and he takes his hand, and he scatters the seeds. So sower is the person goes forth to sow. That's to plant the seeds. All right, now verse number 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Often Jesus would say something like that at the end of a parable. Basically, if you understand this, if you are capable of understanding this, I hope you listen, I hope you apply it to your life. So you've got this sower, and he's going out and he's sowing seed. He's planting seed. We're going to see that there's four types of ground. I'm going to jump right into what these types of ground are. The last type of ground that we saw was the good ground. That's what he was aiming for. That's where he wanted to get the seeds. He's scattering these seeds, and as he's scattering them, he wants the seed to land in the good ground because that's where the seed's going to grow. How many of you here this morning, you have a garden or something like that in your yard or in your house? You have some type of a garden, and you planted some type of seeds. Now, my garden didn't do very well this year. I decided to plant tomato plants in pots this year instead of in the ground this year. And I think it got too hot for them, so they just really didn't do very good. The strawberries did really well. My daughter's strawberries did good. But we've had gardens in the past. My dad, whenever I was growing up, they used to have a big garden, and it was half of the backyard of my dad's house. It was a huge garden. I got a little bit older, and they shrank it down to a small corner of the backyard, so he's got a garden there still. So you can picture somebody going out and planting seeds. And you can picture the ground if you've planted a garden, and if you live anywhere. Well, some of you live in the valley. If you live in the valley, you may have good soil. But if you live anywhere up above the valley, especially up on the west side, you probably don't have much soil. You probably have a lot of sand. And as you go to plant something, you've got to do something to that soil. You've got to prepare the soil. You've got to work it so that it becomes good soil. Now, sometimes it's just naturally good soil where you can plant something and things will grow. But a lot of times you've got to cultivate it. And that's the message this morning, is preparing that good soil. So if you plant something and you want to make sure it doesn't land in the rocks, you want to make sure it doesn't land in a place where there's going to be weeds. If you're going to plant what do we want to plant this morning? We want to plant corn. You got to make sure you got good soil for your corn. What would you plant? Really, if you were going to plant, every spring I always wanted to plant a watermelon. And that's usually, my parents would let me pick one plant from the nursery. We'd go to the nursery and I'd plant a watermelon. Around here, watermelons grow to be about this big. And so they didn't really do that good. But I like tomatoes. You can plant those tomatoes, get those growing. You can plant vegetables. Zucchini is always a winner. You can plant zucchini and you can have a bazillion pounds of zucchini. You can give it to all your friends and lose all your friends. You just give them all the zucchini that you don't want to eat. But what you're looking for is you're looking for good ground. You're looking for a place where you can plant it where it's going to grow. The good ground in this story, we'll look at the explanation here in just a minute. Jesus is telling a story that illustrates a principle, and the good ground is a heart that accepts the truth of the gospel and the instruction of discipleship so much that not only is this person affected, but other people are affected. That's the good ground. In Mark chapter 4, the Bible says that the seed is the Word of God, Satan is the adversary, the ground is the hearts of men. So we've got that. If you don't turn to Mark chapter 4, we're looking at Matthew chapter 13. But if you look at Mark chapter 4, you've got a similar parable, and you've got the key, if you would, the solutions to who Jesus is talking about here. The seed is the Word of God. The ground is the heart of man. So you've got the good ground, a heart that accepts the truth of the gospel and the instruction of the Word of God, or discipleship, if you want to call it that. And he accepts, and the ground is so good that not only do I get affected by it, but it affects others. In fact, the Bible says some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. We'll explain what that here is here in just a minute. But then there's also the wayside. There's good ground, but then there's the wayside. The wayside would be, if you were planting and you plowed up a garden and you scattered your seeds, it'd be the part that's not plowed. It'd be the part outside of the garden. Maybe a pathway, maybe a sidewalk, maybe the part where nobody's going to water, and it's just hard ground. It's the wayside. Nothing grows there. In fact, in this parable, the birds come and eat the seed that's sitting on top of the ground. It never even has a chance to grow. It's the wayside. And the representation there is a heart that hears the truth of God, of the gospel, but rejects it. Then you've got the stony ground. Stony ground. There's a little bit of soil on the stony ground, but it's mostly just rock. So the seed lands there, it begins to grow, but it doesn't grow very much, and the sun comes up and it withers it, it dies. So you got the stony ground. And this ground represents a heart that accepts the truth of the gospel, but doesn't let the truth change his life, and doesn't really grow, and begins to grow, but just kind of stops and dies and withers away. Then you have the thorny ground. The thorny ground would represent a heart that accepts the truth of the gospel, grows some as a Christian, but it's too crowded with the things of the world to thrive. That probably describes most Christians today. Most Christians are probably living among thorns, and we're so surrounded with the world that we want to serve God, we want to thrive, but we really don't. Look at Matthew chapter 13 now. Look at verse number 18. I want you to see Jesus' explanation of this parable. Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. He's going to explain it. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here you've got the explanation of this parable. So you've got four types of ground. You got the good ground, you got the wayside, you got the stony ground, and you got the thorny ground. You have not just four types of ground, but you have four types of results as well. If seed is going to be planted into these grounds, you're going to have four different types of results. The first result is seed that doesn't get into the ground. Now, who can remember, what is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. So the first result is this wayside. The seed is planted, and result number one is the wayside. The seed doesn't get into the ground. The wicked one takes away the Word from your heart so that you don't get saved. I hope that's not you this morning. I hope that your heart isn't hard like the wayside where the Word of God has been sown and you've heard the gospel and somebody showed you how to be saved and showed you that you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you can have your sins forgiven, and you've heard that, you've heard the gospel, but your heart is hard. And it's like the pathway on the side, and the Word of God comes and it hits your heart, it kind of bounces and maybe it sits for a while, but the enemy at some point comes and takes the Word, just like a bird would come down and take a seed left on the ground and takes it away. So the seed never begins to grow, and you never trust Christ as your Savior. I hope that's not you this morning, but there's a good chance it is. There's a possibility this morning that you've heard the gospel and you've heard it over and over. There's a possibility that somebody's tried to share with you how to be saved, and you've heard it, and the seed has been planted, but because your heart is hard, it's the wayside, and it's not growing. At some point, you may hear the gospel for the last time, and you may have your last opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior. We don't know how long our life is. We don't know. We're not guaranteed the future. That's the wayside. The wicked one, the devil, takes away the word from your heart, and you just don't get saved. Then there's the stony soil where the seed begins to grow, but it dies before it gets much of a chance to grow. You planted a seed, and there's a little bit of dirt there, just a little bit to get it started, but there's not much a place for the roots to grow, so the seed begins to grow, and here's what happens. You receive the truth in your heart, and you get saved, you begin to grow, but the Bible says you get offended, and you quit growing. The other type of result is the seed is planted into the place where there's thorns and where the weeds are. You ever planted a garden, you know that there's going to be weeds. I don't know how the weeds get there. You pull all the weeds out and there's still more weeds. And you pull all the weeds out, there's still more weeds. But you plant your seed in there, your seed starts growing up, and it doesn't take much time and the weeds start growing up right there with it. And as Christians, we are in this world and we are saved and this world's all around us, but we're surrounded by these weeds. And here you've got the seed that's planted in this thorny soil, with the thistles and the weeds, and it begins to grow. The seed grows into a plant. But because it's surrounded by thorns, the plant never excels. It never thrives. It never has any fruit. Here's the result. You grow as a Christian. You get saved. You grow. You learn the Bible. But you never take the necessary steps to live what the Bible would teach is a separated life. So you never become fruitful. You never reach your potential. You maybe would be what the world would call a nominal Christian. You go by the name Christian. You say you're a Christian. Maybe an average Christian who fits in with the world. And if we are the Christian in with the thorns, you have traded maybe the possibility of trading God's power in your life for the world's enticements and the world's riches and the world's stuff. See, the world and God and the things of God, they're exclusive of each other. You can't have the things of the world and the things of God. The Bible, in fact, says that if you love the world, you can't love God. And if you've got to make a choice, are you going to choose to love the world or are you going to choose to love God? And this is this thorny soil, this soil full of weeds. And if you continue to grow in this soil full of weeds, eventually you can get choked out. If you don't choose to live a life of separation from the world, at some point the world is going to influence you so much that you stop growing and you lose your influence and you don't bear fruit. Now the goal here is fruit. And whenever we say fruit, I know we're talking about planting seeds, and whenever you think fruit, you're probably thinking about a tree. That's usually what I think. When I hear the word fruit, I'm thinking tree. But we're talking about any kind of seed. If you were to plant corn, we've got a decoration here, and see if I can do this without messing it up too bad. We've got a decoration, and it's got some corn seeds in it. See? Now, we don't call those corn seeds. We call that corn, right? This is corn, right? So but this is the fruit. This is what we're talking about. This is our fruit. So whenever we're talking about fruit this morning, we're talking about a plant that grows, and it gets to maturity, and it has seeds. It has fruit. All right, so that's the goal. If I'm going to plant corn, I don't want to go out and look at 100 acres of plants and say, wow, look at all the corn we got. I want to harvest corn. I want to bring the corn in so that I can plant, that I can sell the corn. I can have some seeds to grow and to sell. So the goal is fruit. How are we going to get fruit? How are we going to, in our lives, let's forget the seeds for a minute. How are we in our lives going to have fruit? Well, first we have to get saved. If you are the wayside, this is your heart, the ground is your heart. If you're the wayside, you never trust Jesus Christ your Savior, you never become a Christian, you never get saved yourself. It's impossible for you to have fruit because you're not even a plant. I don't know if that makes sense right there or not. I've got to have, if my heart is the soil, I've got to have the Word of God, and I've got to, and the Bible says, and you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. I've got to come alive. I've got to begin living a Christian life. That's not even the right word either. I need to be saved in order to be able to have fruit. I can't even start this journey until I am saved myself. That's the way. But eventually I want to get to the place where my heart is good ground, where something can grow, the Word of God can grow, and eventually there is fruit. There are more people saved because of the seed planted in my life. Let's talk about the good ground. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, it describes the good ground as someone who hears the word, understands it, and then bears varying amounts of fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. In Mark chapter 4, it describes this good ground as someone who hears the word and receives it and brings forth various amounts of fruit. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, talks about a person with an honest and good heart that hears the word and keeps it, then patiently brings forth fruit. Take all those together and you understand what the Bible's talking about. This is a person who grows and bears fruit. The seed has been sown and you've trusted Christ as your Savior. This is a Christian person. You've not Christian in name, not just Christian because I'm in part of a Christian nation, but a person who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They grow and they bear fruit. This is ground that's ready for seed. You know, this is what we're looking for. This is what we all want. If my goal is fruit, I'm looking for somebody that I could plant a seed in their heart, the seed of the Word of God. And that seed could begin to grow, and that person can get saved, and that person could grow as a Christian. But we're not just looking for that. We're looking for somebody who can also bear more fruit. We're looking for good ground. If you ever go soul winning, and soul winning is sharing the gospel. There's all kinds of words for it. You can call it witnessing. You can call it soul winning. You could call it. There's one culture they call it dog holding. Dog holding. Well, why is that? Well, because everybody has a dog. And if you're going to go up to somebody's house and tell them how to be saved, somebody's got to hold the dog. You call it whatever you want to call it, but it's sharing the gospel with people. We want to find, as we're sharing the gospel with people, we're looking for good ground. We're looking for a soft heart, somebody that we could show how to be saved, and they get saved. That's what we're looking for. Somebody who God's been working in their heart, and they're ready to hear the gospel, and they want to get saved, and they listen to the gospel, and they understand it, and then they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Listen, if you have not had the opportunity to tell somebody how to be saved and show them from the Bible how they could be saved, and then right there, they realize they're a sinner and they pray to Jesus Christ. They trust Him as their Savior and they get saved. If you've not had that experience, listen, you're missing out on one of the greatest things in life of being a soul winner. Sharing the gospel with somebody and that person trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not because of anything you did, because you can't save them. But if you hadn't have told them, they wouldn't have been saved. What an amazing opportunity this is. And they do that, and they have the good heart or the good ground for a heart, and they get saved, and then they grow, and they come to church, and they get baptized, because to get baptized is the first step of obedience. If you've been saved, you need to get baptized. That's not to be saved, not to help finish getting saved, but just to show everybody else, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you look at the book of Acts, you look at the New Testament, when people got saved, they got baptized. So you share the gospel, and they have a soft heart, and they get saved, and they get baptized, and then they tell some friends about getting saved, because they're excited about it. And they've got this good heart, this good soil, this soft heart, and now they've gotten saved. When you got saved, did you want to tell any of your friends about what just happened in your life? I mean, think about what happened. Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for your sins. You just accepted His forgiveness. All your sins are washed away. You became a child of God. All this, the amazing transformation that happens in our heart, you want to tell somebody about it. So they do. They want to tell their friends how they've gotten saved. And they start reading their Bible, and this person, they start coming to church and maybe go through a discipleship program, or they have a mentor, and they begin learning the Bible, and they get to learn more about God, and then they start sharing the gospel. And because they've got a soft heart, they're this good ground, and they realize the Bible says that we're supposed to share the gospel. So the Bible says I'm supposed to share the gospel, I'm going to share the gospel. And they start doing that, and they're growing, and they're sharing the gospel. And maybe they start studying the Bible some. Maybe they get an opportunity, they start teaching a children's Sunday school class, because you don't have to know all of the Bible to teach a children's Sunday school class. You just got to know more than a 4-year-old or 5-year-old, right? So, and they maybe start teaching a kid's Sunday school class, and they'll go home during the week, and they'll study their Bible, study the story, and so then they can come back to the class, and they can teach the story, and they're growing. And it's an exciting thing. And they're learning the Bible. They're learning more about God. And not just in a trivial kind of factual kind of way, but they're getting to know God. And they're growing as a Christian. And so they're teaching the Sunday school class. And now they're making an effort to share the gospel regularly. And not just once in a while, but they're thinking, you know, if me telling somebody about Jesus is going to get them to heaven if they get saved, then I want to tell more people about Jesus because I want to make a difference for eternity for lots of people. So they decide I'm going to share the gospel regularly and I'm going to try to work it into my schedule so it becomes a regular part of my life. And maybe they work on a bus route and bring people to church, or maybe they teach an adult Sunday school class at some point. And here's what they do. They continue faithfully for a lifetime. And they serve the Lord by teaching a class, and they do it for years and years and years. Or they work on a bus route, and they do it for years and years and years. Whatever it is they're doing, they just stay faithful. And as they stay faithful, and they're planting these seeds, and so you got to remember, just in the beginning, all they were was soil, just a heart. But the seed was planted, they began to grow, and they grew to a point where now they're spreading seeds. Now they're planting seeds, they're telling other people how to be saved. They're teaching the 4- and 5-year-old class and showing them how to be saved. And they're teaching and preaching in junior church, and the kids are getting saved, and there's fruit. And they just continue for a lifetime. They don't just do it for a year or two, they do it for the rest of their life, and that's where the fruit begins to multiply. People who reach a lot of people with the gospel are people who started a long time ago, usually, and just didn't quit. I mean, a lot of us could do it for a little while and, you know, serve God for a little while, but most of us, most Christians really were more like the plant that's growing in the weeds. And we'll do something for a little while, maybe we'll share the gospel for a little while, and we'll help out for a little while, maybe teach a class for a little while, maybe work on a bus route for a little while. We'll do these things for a little while, but eventually the weeds catch up with us. That's just the cares of the world, the Bible says. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And these things get our attention, and while we're sharing the gospel, we're doing these things for a while, eventually we get distracted. Again, eventually we get offended, eventually we get caught up in the things of the world, and we just kind of fall away on sharing the gospel. The way to have this 100-fold fruit, 60-fold fruit, 30-fold fruit is to start serving the Lord and just don't stop. Just keep serving the Lord. Just keep serving God. If one apple tree produces 500 apples in one season, Brother Reed, how many apples does your tree have on? It has a lot, doesn't it? Well, not right now. We got them, but more than 500? Okay. So let's just say an apple tree. Anybody have apple trees in their yard? I know Brother Reed has one. Anybody else have an apple tree at their yard? Or you know somebody has an apple? You got a third cousin twice removed that has an apple tree? You know what? Who knows what an apple is? All right. Applesauce, apple pie. Okay. So if an apple tree, or we're awake this morning, right? I can just tell we are just excited to be at church. So you got an apple tree. It's likely that an apple tree could have 500 apples on it in one season. That's not a stretch. All right. That's probably actually kind of low. If an apple tree has 500 apples, what would twofold mean? Twofold means twice that. That means 1,000 apples on a tree. So if an apple tree, you plant the seed, the tree grows and it does well, and now in harvest time, there's 500 apples from one seed. That's a pretty awesome thought right there. So 500, that's like awesome sauce, right? Apple sauce, okay. So You got 500 apples growing from one seed. Now, what Jesus is talking about is a plant that begins to grow in this good soil, and it grows and grows and grows. And it doesn't just become one plant, but it increases not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, but 100-fold. What are we talking about? These numbers that, if you stop and think about them, are really quite large. So if it increases 2-fold, that's 1,000 apples. An apple tree that produces 30-fold, and that was the smallest number that Jesus gave, an apple tree that produces 30-fold would produce 15,000 apples. Now you might look at an apple tree and say, there's no way. How can an apple tree have 15,000 apples? Well, that was the low number Jesus gave. He said 30-fold, 60-fold, and some and 100-fold. If an apple tree produces 100-fold, got your math brain going? You've got 50,000 apples. How many of you like to process those for apple pies, right? Get those ready. Peel those and slice those. 50,000 1,000 apples, one tree. No, wait a minute. That's not possible. Okay, so 1,000 maybe? Maybe a couple thousand? But an apple tree can't have 50,000 apples. There's no way an apple tree can do that. But if an apple tree drops seeds, and those seeds grow into trees, then 50,000 apples can be an every season experience. We're not talking about just getting one seed. We're not talking about just getting one piece of fruit. We're talking about one seed that not only became 500 seeds, but could potentially become 50,000 apples. How do you do that? Well, as the good ground, you let the seed begin to grow. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You become a Christian. You become a child of God when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you just begin to grow. And then you get to know God better, and you study your Bible more, and you take the opportunities to serve. And maybe you do teach the kids Sunday school class. Like I said, you just have to know more than a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old or whatever class it was. You don't have to have all the answers. None of us have all the answers. And you just grow. And you tell somebody how you got saved. And then you realize, you know, this is pretty awesome, because I told somebody how I got saved, and they got saved, and now there's somebody else that's saved. As somebody else who would have died and gone to hell had I not told them how to be saved. This is amazing. I love being part of telling people how to be saved. Or once you catch that, or it catches you, maybe the other way of saying it. Once you realize the power of sharing the gospel with somebody that changes their life for all of eternity, and you think, you know, I want to do this more. I want to share the gospel more. I want to drop not just one seed here or one seed there. I want to drop a bunch of seeds so there could be 50,000 apples rather than just one tree or two trees. So you say, you know, I'm gonna do this more. I'm gonna share the gospel more. I'm gonna tell more people about Jesus. I'm gonna do what I can to share the gospel. So you think, I'm gonna work this into my regular schedule. I want to become a regular soul winner, if you want to call it that, a weekly witnesser. I don't know if that has any kind of a ring to it, but however you want to call it, doesn't matter. Let's just get involved with it and say, I want to tell people on a regular basis. I want people to get saved on a regular basis. And so you work it into your schedule and you push it. You say, I want to dedicate myself to planting seeds, to sharing the gospel, to spreading the seeds. So I'm not just a one tree plant. I want to be a 50,000 apple tree. If we learn to plant seeds and then nurture the new Christians as they grow, each of us has the potential to be a 100-fold Christian. Think about that. I don't know if you thought about this recently. What is your legacy going to be? I thought about it recently, and I'm not even sure why I thought about this, but I was reading one of Zig Ziglar's books a long time ago, and he said one of the ways to set yourself up for success is to picture what people are going to say about you at your funeral. All right, so we really don't like to go there that day and think about what's going to happen that day, but really, what are they going to say about you? Is it this person like to fish? I know that's a good thing to fish, or this person like to hunt, or this person like to, I don't know, build Legos or whatever it was. And you've got this legacy, and none of those are bad things, but what are they going to say about you? As people get up and they talk, what's this person going to say? What is the defining activity? What are the defining descriptions of your life? And as you think about that, because those are the things that really define me, I would like my life to be defined as someone who spent my life living for God, reaching as many people with the gospel as I can, encouraging people, helping them to grow closer to Jesus. Wouldn't you like to do something like that? Something meaningful, something worthwhile. The good fruit. I'm going to have to detour and not preach the whole message here this morning. I wanted to go through all the different types of the soil, but I think this is really where we probably need to stop. The first question is this. Is your heart good ground? Have you allowed the Word of God to be planted there? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you the wayside? Are you the sidewalk? Are you the pathway where the seed has landed? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Him to forgive your sins? Have you admitted to God that you're a sinner and you don't deserve to get to heaven on your own, and you accepted His gift of salvation and you got saved? If you haven't, you need to do that. I think most people here this morning have been saved, and we've got this, our heart is this ground, and there's something growing there. We're wanting to do something for God. We're wanting to please Him. You're here today. You want your life to count But for some reason, maybe we're offended at somebody or something, or even offended at God or the Word of God, whatever it is. We get offended, we stop growing. Or maybe it is we're just surrounded by weeds and the riches of this world, the Bible talks about, and the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. And all these things are surrounding us, so we're really not reaching people like we could be reaching people. Maybe that's you today. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing to be a 100-fold Christian? I'd be happy with a 30-fold Christian. I would love to just to be able to, instead of one apple having 15,000 apples, wow, that'd be wonderful. But God said you could be 30, 60, maybe 100. There's so much more that you and I can do for God. I don't want you to be satisfied. Here's what's happening. In our culture and in our country, we have been convinced that the what Christians are supposed to do is show up for church on Sunday and just make sure we're, you know, decent people. That's not what the Bible's talking about. What we ought to be doing is reaching the world with the gospel. Reaching our communities with the gospel. Reaching our neighbors, reaching our friends, reaching people we don't know with the gospel. And you can do it. That's what I want you to understand. You can do it. Most Christians don't think that they can, but you can. You can be a 100-fold Christian. There's so much more I want to say, but I'm not going to take the time to do it this morning. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts today. You would give us the desire to do more for you than most of us really think we can. Lord, I pray that we would be that good ground where your word can grow and we can reach so many more people for you, fruit, bearing fruit. Lord, I know there's different potentials and there's different talents and things, and I believe maybe that's why you mentioned the 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. But Lord, I do know this. I do know that you want all of us to bear fruit. And I believe every one of us can bear fruit. Every one of us can share the gospel. Every one of us can bring people to the knowledge of the Savior. Lord, I pray that you would work this in our hearts, that each one of us would strive to be that plant, that fruit-bearing plant that you want us to be. And Lord, this morning there may be someone here who's not trusted you as their Savior. The seed of your word has landed on their heart, but it's not taken root. Their heart is hard. They've rejected you over and over and over. Lord, would you soften that heart? Would you soften the heart of the person that said no to you before? Would you put the desire in that heart to trust you as their Savior? Help them understand, just like all of us, we're all sinners. The punishment for sin is to be separated from ever in hell from a God that loves us. But you died on the cross. You paid the price for our sins. And Lord, you want to save us. Lord, I pray there's someone here this morning who's not yet saved. They would be saved.